Let's start off with some scripture. For you, O Lord, are the most high over the whole earth. You are elevated above all the gods. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He protects the lives of his faithful followers. He delivers them from the power of the wicked. The godly bask in the light. The morally upright experience joy. You godly ones, rejoice in the Lord. Give thanks to his holy name. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity that our regular musicians have to serve you in a different way, in a different place. We thank you for that and ask that you would be with them and be blessing them, be blessing that conference. Lord, I ask that you would be blessing us here. We're gathered here to celebrate you, to enjoy fellowship with each other, and I ask that you would be well pleased with this time and this service. Father, please add your blessing to this time. For your glory, Lord Jesus, we ask all of this. Amen. We're back into Romans again tonight. So, I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And we are continuing our walk through the book, through the letter. Some amazing, amazing stuff has gone on, and we're continuing to build on what has gone on in the past. So Romans chapter 8, if we look back a little bit, starting at verse 14, we see that we've come to a place where we're kind of identified. We're kind of given a name, given a status, given a something. Verse 14 of chapter 8, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Ladies, please, as we talked about when I preached on this, don't be offended. Please. It's interesting, the Bible that I'm using, the New English Translation, the NET Bible, is very, very gender inclusive. And oftentimes, for example, the Greek word for man is man and woman and humanity and everything. It's not the male gender, it's people. And so where it's translated that, it includes inclusive language, brothers and sisters or men and women or whatever. Here you notice that it says sons. Because that is a legal term, not a gender term. You have become the sons of God, and the sons of God, to be called a son, was to be given a legal status, a legal standing. And that's important to remember. As we are adopted into Christ's family, into God's family, as brothers and sisters of Christ, we share that heritage. We have full legal standing as children of God. And that's why this word is translated sons. It's a legal term, not a gender term. So that's good to remember. It's also good to remember to not take my glasses off when I'm going to be reading right away again. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery, leading again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." There was a distinct and complete family change. We are no longer belonging to the family that we were belonging to. We have now become new family, adopted into God's family. "By whom we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are God's children." And we talked about this last week. If children, then heirs with the full rights and responsibilities. And the same target on our back that Jesus had. "Namely, heirs of God and also fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, suffer as he did." Jesus said, hey, if they hate me, guess what? They're going to hate you. And we are experiencing that more and more and more in our culture and in our world. And that's just a given. It's going to happen. So we're building on to that. We are building on to that. John 1:12 says, "For as many as received him, to those he gave the right to be called the children of God, even to those who believe in his name." A childhood started not by the will of men or by the will of people, but by the will of God. That's verse 13. Clarifies for us that it was God who initiates our life. Hebrews tells us that we look to Jesus, the author and finisher, author and perfecter. What on earth does that mean? It means, how many of you have siblings? How many of you in your siblings were the instigator? Ooh, no one's willing to admit to that. I'm willing to bet I could point out some of the instigators here tonight. What does an instigator do? They start it all. An instigator starts it. Jesus is the instigator of our faith. He's the one who starts it. That's what it means by author. He's the one who wrote it. He's the one who created it. He's the one who instigated our path into his family. He's also the perfecter, the finisher. He's the one that's going to see it to the end. He's the one that's going to hound you as you live your life. Not in a bad way, but every time. I don't know if any of you have tried to walk away from the Lord. I have. You know what? He never lets me. Chases me down. Says Orban. Orban. Okay. I can remember a time well over 25 years ago. I was wandering the town that I grew up in, thinking about the heritage that I had been given. And I went away for that particular weekend. Trish and I were living in Edmonton at the time, with a couple of wee little ones, and I decided I have to make a choice. Am I going to walk away, or am I going to turn back to God? And I wandered the streets of that town late at night when it was all quiet, calm and peaceful. And I realized the heritage that God had built into me. And I wasn't willing to walk away from that. God was there and he drew me back. Every time I try to walk away, he draws me back. He is the instigator. He is the perfecter. Every time you try to walk away, he's there. Every time you try to say, maybe this will be more fun. Oh, really? I'm not sure what that has to do with Romans, at least not this passage. But I want to talk about us being kids of God, God's children. And the next few verses in Romans chapter 8 are just so awesome. I'm a little bit stressed out tonight, just in case you were wondering. I mean, it's not usual that this is my seat for the entire service. Usually, I get to sit there beside my lovely wife. She's not here tonight, by the way, because she's on her way to Red Deer to pick up our daughter, to bring our daughter here for the craft sale tomorrow. So, speaking of which, we forgot to do announcements. We'll cover those at the end. Remind me if I forget again. God's kids have the most amazing dad. We really do. Some of us had horrible fathers. I realize that. I understand that. And because of that, sometimes that word Father is terribly tainted and brings up horrible images. But the God who loves you, the God who sent Jesus Christ to die for you, the God who wants what's very best for you, someone who's called out to you and has asked you to join his family. And then we get taken care of. How many of you are dads here tonight? I am. I love my kids. And one of the biggest challenges for me as a dad is taking care of my kids, providing for them what they need, not what they want, not giving them everything that they want. It's been said that if you raise your kids, you can spoil your grandkids. But if you spoil your kids, you have to raise your grandkids. I tried to raise my kids. I tried to do what was best for them, which wasn't always what they wanted, which wasn't always nice and fun. Sometimes it meant some correction, some consequences. Our kids knew that there were specific consequences for specific actions. You do that, your choice, you can do it, but you know what's coming. Their choice. But they knew that when they chose the action, they chose the consequence. But we tried to do what's best for them. We tried to take care of them. They're all grown and gone now. I thought life would become easier then. Parenting just becomes more complex when you've got adult kids, doesn't it? How do you care for them? How do you take care of them? How do you take your hands off enough for them to live their own life, even when you see them doing silly, silly things? God doesn't have that problem. Verse 26, Romans chapter 8. In the same way, or at the same time, or while all of this is happening, that is, this us being called children of God, heirs and fellow heirs. While this is happening, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how we should pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. This is where I was going when I was telling you I was a little bit stressed this week, doing everything for the service here tonight so that the band could be away ministering. Getting ready for the craft sale tomorrow, where we're inviting the community in to meet Cowboy Church. And everything that involves getting ready for a craft sale and other speaking engagements. And God, am I an idiot? Am I nuts? Am I? Bless you. Sorry, that's the Ukrainian in me. Someone sneezes, you respond. It just is. Do you know, I experienced being cared for this week by the Lord in the midst of a week where I felt totally overwhelmed, totally stressed out, at my wit's end. I got to prepare this message. I got to live this message as a recipient of God's loving care. The Spirit praying for me with inexpressible groanings. By the way, that has nothing to do with speaking in tongues, absolutely nothing. It's simply that there is such a need that the Spirit's communication cannot even be formed into words. We've all been in that place where the emotions were just so strong that words fail and it's just sounds. That's the Spirit interceding for you as God's child. What an amazing thought. Right now, He is standing before the Father, before the throne. He is spirit. He is everywhere. And he is praying for you. Why? Because you're one of God's kids. That's why. At the same time, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how we should pray. Have you ever been there? God, I need... God, I don't know what it is that I need. I don't know what it is that I want, but I need something. And I... Help! I don't... Spirit says, I got you. I know what you need. I know exactly what you need. And even more, I know what God's will is. And he prays to that end. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes on behalf of the saints according to God's will. He knows me beyond my ability to know myself. He knows God's will for me beyond anything that I could ever hope to fully understand. And he puts the two of them together in his prayers for me. Because God cares for me. Why? Because I'm his kid. Not his favorite, just one of them. Just like you. That's how the Spirit prays for you. What an encouragement. What an amazing. Did I feel it this week? Not necessarily. But as I spent time with this, he reminded me over and over again. He's praying for me. I'm praying for you, Orban. I got you. I'm holding you before the throne of grace. One of my biggest privileges as a pastor is to carry your requests, to carry you before the throne of grace. And some of you have given me that privilege and that opportunity. And I don't take it lightly. I love to carry you to the throne of grace and to intercede for you and to lay you before the throne and ask my Father to intercede in your life, to intervene in your life. I love doing that. But as much as I love doing that, and as much as I enjoy that, and it's a ministry that God has given to me, I am so bad at it compared to what the Spirit does. And he does it daily. He does it moment by moment. He knows we're weak. You heard about the little boy in church. The preacher was praying, Father, you know we are but dust. And the little boy pipes up, says, Mommy, what's but dust? He knows that we are frail, that we are weak, and he intercedes for us, lifts us up to the Father. And we know, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It is one of the most amazing verses in all of Scripture, and when you put it into the context of the passage, it even makes it more amazing. The Holy Spirit praying for us and interceding for us and caring for us and caring about us. And then we have God, the Father, as he receives those requests from the Spirit, as he receives our cries, as he looks down on us. There is nothing going on in your life today that God cannot work for your good if you love him and are called according to his purpose. In other words, if you're one of his kids. If you're not, sorry. God doesn't make that promise to anybody but his kids. be part of a family has special privileges, has special responsibilities. There's a big target on our back. Has special privileges too. We know that all things work together for good. We know that the NASB says we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him, of those who are called according to his purpose. My God is big enough to take anything in my life and work it for my good. Please hear this carefully. He doesn't say everything is good. There's a lot of bad stuff going on in this world. There's a lot of stuff that Satan has his hand in. There's a lot of stuff that is not good. How many of you were shocked and stunned and jumped when we got the emergency action message yesterday? Oh, I hate those things. Not a good situation. I don't know the people involved in that. Kind of scared me a little bit. I was 6 blocks from where I grew up. Literally. I grew up on 117th Avenue and 88th Street, and that happened on 118th Avenue and 91st Street. That's my old neighborhood. Yeah, it's a little different than it was too many years ago. Not everything in this world is good, but remember, we're talking about God's kids. We're talking about those that God has given his Spirit to. And God is able to take anything. More importantly, God is able to take everything that happens and use it to the good of his kids. I wish I could have done that as a dad. There's a lot of things I would have liked to have changed. I have a pulse. I'm human. I can't. God can. God does. So the Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit interceding for us, praying beyond words, beyond anything that could be comprehensible, praying for us before the Father, matching our needs that only he understands with God's will that only he understands, and bringing that to the Father. And the Father says, I got this, and I can make good come out of it. To those that love him, to those that are called according to his purpose. Because those, verse 29, those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that his Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Now, I could break out a whiteboard, and we could start talking theology here, and we could be here for the next 4 days. But I want to simplify some of these terms that have a lot of baggage, but don't need to. Okay? Let's remember the context. We're talking about God's kids. Okay? We're talking about those of us that have accepted him, that have believed in his name. He has given us the right to be called his children. Okay? Those he foreknew, he also predestined. We'll look at predestined in a minute. But that first word, foreknew, what it means is that he knew us beforehand. Sometimes we think, okay, it means he knew the choice that we were going to make. There's a couple of verses I want us to think about. One is Matthew 7, starting at verse 21, talks about people at the last day. Jesus says, there are many who are going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not heal the sick in your name? Did we not do amazing miracles in your name? And he will say, do you remember what Jesus says he'll say? Depart from me, for I never knew you. It wasn't about them knowing God, it was about God knowing them. We so often get that backwards. We think eternal life is us knowing God. It's God knowing you. Galatians talks about this, and if you've been following along in the reading program, you read this a little while ago. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9 says, "But now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God." See, salvation is about being known by God. We choose to believe Him because He knew us already. Those He knew, He predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Because those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. What does that word predestined mean? Let me put it real simply. We could go theology, but I'm not interested in theology tonight. I'm interested in something that makes a difference in Sherwood Park on Saturday, October 21st, tomorrow. Predestined means He put you on a path. He knew you, and He said, "You're mine. I'm going to set you on a path that will bring you into conformity with the image of My Son. I chose a path for you. I picked it out." Yeah. The cool thing is not only is He the trail maker, He's the trail guide. He walks with us every step of the way as we walk His path with Him. Those who He knew already, He chose a path for us to walk. He chose a route for us to live. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Those who He predestined, those who He put on the path, He called. Come follow Me. Follow Me. Let's walk. I have a path that's going to lead you into conformity with My Son. To be known by God is to be put on a path that will lead us into conformity with His Son. It's to be drawn into that path. And not only that, my page flipped. Not only that, those He called, He also justified. Justification is an awfully nice thing, isn't it? We talked about that several months ago. Justification means that there is nothing laid on my account because it's been paid for. Once you've been charged with a crime, convicted, and paid the penalty, they can't charge you again, can they? Right? Legal terms. It's illegal to do that. You can't do that. Guess what? We were charged with a crime. Sinning. We were convicted. And He paid for it. We accept that payment and we can never be charged with that crime again. It's done. We're justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. He sees the end from the beginning. He looks at all of human history from beginning to end like you and I look at a timeline in a history book. He sees it all. The big difference is He can step into it everywhere He wants to. Folks, as you are God's children, I want you to hear this really, really clearly. Not only are you spoken for, we've used that term a whole lot as we've talked about Romans, but you're cared for. In the midst of your worst days, in the midst of your worst weeks, you're cared for in ways that leave us unable to understand. So far beyond our ability to comprehend. The Spirit prays for us. God works out all of those things for our benefit, for our good. Now remember, God writes the definition of good, not you and me. That doesn't mean nice. It doesn't mean pleasant. It doesn't mean comfortable. If you grew up in the era that I did, you knew sometimes good meant a little bit of heat on the backside. God's definition of good, he works it out in those that he knew, that he put on the path to be conformed to his son, Jesus the Christ. What an amazing, amazing gift to his kids. I don't know where you're at tonight, but if you're here tonight as one of his children, I know that you're being well cared for. Even if it doesn't feel like it, you are. That's what God says. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you that you care for us in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. Father, please help us to trust you more with that, and to realize that just because we don't understand or because it's difficult doesn't mean it's not good. Thank you for taking care of us. Please remind us as we go through this weekend and this coming week. Of the words that you have spoken to us tonight. Of the Spirit praying for us. And of you dealing with everything that comes across our life. Father, thank you. Now may the God of peace himself make you completely holy and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus the Christ. He who calls you is trustworthy, and he will in fact do this. Amen.